The mining boom has hit Australian manufacturing hard. As demand for our resources pushed the dollar higher, Australian firms struggled to compete against cheaper imports and overseas rivals. It's what's known as Dutch disease, a reference to the impact of the North Sea oil and gas boom in the Netherlands. But trade unions and some manufacturers reckon they've got a cure for Dutch disease, or at least a way to relieve the symptoms. Require big mining projects to source more of their inputs locally. This could give a big boost to the steel industry and to engineering works in particular. In response to such pressure, the federal government committed $34 million to its Buy Australian at Home and Abroad initiative and appointed former Queensland Premier Peter Beattie to be a roving resources sector supply envoy. Peter Beattie, welcome to the National Interest.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me. The title's a mouthful.
What is your job? What is a resources sector supplier envoy or envoy?
Well, it does three things. Firstly, I engage with all sections of the industry, and I've been doing that across Australia. I've now visited every state and Northern Territory. I've visited Darwin to talk to the industry about how we can increase the amount of local content, which means the number of jobs. That's the first thing. Secondly, to chair a forum which has been established of the key players from across Australia. It met for the first time in Perth last week, and it's come up with a number of strategies which I'll come back to. And thirdly, then, to access markets for Australian companies, and that's overseas. I'll be leading a trade delegation to Latin America in the beginning of April. I'll also be taking Australian companies to meet the major procurement officers in companies like Bechtel, Woolley Parsons, Chicago Bridge and Iron in Houston.
So big engineering
big, yes,
companies.
Big that's right. The ones who actually do the work, make the decisions about who gets the work. And the idea about going global, as well as talking to the procurement officers, is to get Australian companies into the international supply chains so that they not only get work in Australia, but they get work overseas. And sometimes by getting work overseas, they then get work in Australia. But the most important thing was to consult with the industry, get a series of ideas, and then get the forum, which met in Perth, as I said last week, focused, and it's made three key decisions, which I'm happy to talk to you about.
Well, let's talk first about the feelings on this issue, because there are some intense feelings around this issue, particularly in Western Australia. I've seen, for example, complaints from the Australian Steel Institute that only 10% of the steel in big projects like Gorgon or Wheatstone, Browse Basin, only 10% is sourced from Australia, that most of it's coming from offshore. And there is, a pretty strong view, isn't there, that Australian firms, Australian suppliers should be getting a better deal?
Oh, look, there are very strong feelings about this. There's absolutely no doubt about it. And I have spoken, as I indicated, Peter, to not just the mining companies, but the Steel Institute, BlueScope, the players who are involved in this, the trade unions as well, and a lot of the SMEs, the small to medium enterprises who actually are fabricators and so on. Yes, there are strong feelings about it. But what we need to do, and I spent a week in Perth, talking to all the players as well as chairing this forum with the two relevant ministers, Senator Kim Carr and Martin Ferguson, the Minister for Resources. What we need to do is actually find solutions. Now, I think the public debate's been good, because what the public debate, which you've referred to, has focused everybody's minds on how we can get more for Australian manufacturers. We have to remember that almost 1 million Australians get work from the manufacturing industry, and it's about 34% of our exports. And that's why at the forum, when we got all the parties together, having spoken to all of them around Australia, we ended up with three key outcomes. The first was the development of an innovation document, and that document will look at what we need to do to build future capacity, to take advantage of the mining boom. And Dr. Callum Drummond from CSIRO and Professor Chris Moran, who's the Director of Sustainable Minerals Institute at the University of Queensland, they will prepare that paper. That will then obviously go to Minister Kim Carr, but it'll go to the forum. So that is placing us in a strategic position to take advantage of innovation, because innovation is where we have the edge. We have an edge in quality, reliability and innovation. And
as opposed to wages, for example, because our strong dollar has made us very expensive as opposed to manufacture and engineer things.
Yeah, but we have to remember, look, Germany's in exactly the same boat and their wages are higher and working conditions are in some ways better. The truth of it is the Germans do a lot of work in this space simply by quality and innovating. And we've got innovators, people like Hoffman Engineering, who I went through their facility in Perth. They are world class. Now, that's come about by innovation. We need to continue to do that. So that was the first
Okay, and outcome number two?
Was to, and this came out of my consultation, it was a problem for small manufacturers to be able to grow. So a working party has been established to look at financing growth, and that's going to look at things like how do big companies give small companies a helping hand.
So how do they get credit and that sort of
to undertake bigger projects than they would have had before. That's right, and looking at existing government programs to assist, looking at financing to support exports. In other words, let's find a way to get money for manufacturers so they can continue to grow. So that was the first working party. The second one is basically how to win work. And that's looking at things like tendering, partnership collaborations, winning work overseas.
You've spoken on this in other interviews where you've argued that in fact Australian suppliers, if they want to compete, have to get together and launch joint bids rather than compete against one another.
Exactly. If you look at the issue here, size matters. And when you pull back, if you peel back the problems, you find that too often a lot of the fabricators are too small to bid on their own. So if they get together and there's a capacity building strategy where you get collaborations, partnerships, then they increase their size and they're more likely to get the work. But it has to be done in tandem with money to grow firms, the need for a skilled workforce, the capacity building I talked about, helping firms to get skills, to win contracts, and having people involved in design stages of projects. For example, I think one of the most sensible ideas that we could come forward with is to establish a centre of excellence for design in Perth. That would give our fabricators and our manufacturing industry an edge in not just bidding now, but in bidding for projects overseas. So we have to think outside the box. They're the sort of things that we're working on.
This is the National Interest on ABC Radio National. I'm speaking to former Queensland Premier Peter Beattie about his job as the resources sector supplier envoy, trying to get a bigger share of the supplier contracts for Australian manufacturers, steel makers, engineers and so on. Peter Beattie, isn't there a much simpler solution to all this, and that is to simply mandate, given international companies want our resources, to mandate that they buy more locally? Just make them do it.
Well, that won't happen legally. As I understand it, if you did that, you'd end up with WTO problems. And frankly, the government has made it clear that won't happen. I've not heard any of the major players suggest mandating. The Steel Institute, which is, you know, is a very powerful voice in this debate, doesn't support mandating.
I think some of the trade unions might support it.
Well, maybe, but it's not going to happen. So, you know, and I don't make policy on these matters, but it's not going to happen. So, Peter, I have to move on and do with what we can do, coming up with practical solutions. So that's not going to happen. But what can happen is this. What Julia Gillard did out of the Jobs Summit, she indicated that those projects that get grants of $20 million or more of federal funds have to have a participation plan, a local participation plan. Now, that means that the people who are getting the money have to work through a plan. They have to provide that to the federal government. There's a working group now looking at how much of that will be released publicly. The same goes for money for major infrastructure projects that goes to the states or territories. If that's in excess of $20 million, then frankly, they have to come up with local participation plans. Those are a catalyst for ensuring more local involvement for Australia's manufacturing industry.
You say that we would breach WTO rules if we did mandate a certain level of local content, but isn't part of the problem here that big multinational companies have existing supply chains where they buy from their own subsidiaries or contract to their own subsidiaries? Chinese state-owned companies do this, I understand. There are other alignments between multinationals and the big engineering firms you mentioned earlier. So isn't this already stitched up, as it were? Isn't that part of the problem?
I think, and I've seen people have raised those issues. The reality is, though, in terms of where we're going, what we have to do is to ensure we do get into those supply chains. And there are a number of ways that you can do it, some of which we've already talked about. If we talk to the procurement officers and each one of those major companies around the world, we can get into the global supply chain, chains. The reality is we do not have enough of our companies who are involved in the international supply chains. And there's no point complaining about it. What we have to do is get our companies in there, which is why I'm taking a group of Australian companies to Houston at the end of April to make sure we continue to do that. Now, I've done that previously when I was a trade commissioner for the Americas. I took a group of companies out of Mackay to go and meet with the procurement officers for Bechtel, Woolley Parsons, Chicago, Bridge and Iron, and out of that, they're getting work. This does work. And I have to say, the 26 members of that forum I referred to, and they cover everyone. As I said, all the major mining companies, they cover the SMEs, the unions, the AWU was there, the metalworkers were there, all the major players were there, and they're on these working groups. If you look at the working groups I referred to, you've got Chevron on it, Bechtel, the AWU, BlueScope, Gasco, that's on the How to Win Work working group. The one about finding finance, how to get finance, you've got the metalworkers on it, you've got Woodside on it, you've got all the major players. So what I was keen to do was to get everyone, having seen the public debate and everyone's focus on the issue, to put down the stones and to get to work to find practical solutions to deal with the problems, including the one that you mentioned.
I mean, the bigger philosophical question here, I suppose, is about how much value we extract from our resources for the nation. And that's obviously right. The new mining resource rent tax is an attempt to increase the share of value retained in Australia. Yes. But it is legitimate, I think, to ask if that's enough. I mean, we now see, for example, increasing use not only of inputs like steel, like offshore platforms being manufactured overseas, but the increasing use of labour being brought in from overseas under enterprise migration agreements. So it's not even Australian workers, it's temporary labour brought in. You know, the big philosophical question here is, are we selling our mineral wealth too quickly and too cheaply when we could surely drive a harder bargain?
In terms of the mining tax, calling it that in general terms, you have to remember out of that there will be particular money for infrastructure in Western Australia and Queensland, the mining states. They will be caught up then in the $20 million figure I mentioned before, which Julia Gillard announced for those local content plans. So the profits from mining will go into infrastructure or a significant amount in both those states. They will then have to have local content plan, which will ensure more content from Australian manufacturers. That's point one. Point two out of all this is that you have to remember with labour, yes, we do have skill shortages. The trouble is we have something like $480 billion worth of work. Australia has never seen this amount of work in its history. Therefore, getting the total amount of skilled labour is very difficult. That's why we have to have an absolute obsession, if you like, about skilling Australian workers, training Australian workers, TAFE programs, apprenticeships. I mean, there's all sorts of problems with overheating in terms of these local communities where mining goes on, which is another issue, Peter, we could talk about. But yes, there has to be an absolute focus on skills. Will we have enough Australian workers to deal with all these projects? I'm not quite sure we will. So you may well have to see 457 visas in effect, frankly.
Temporary labour visas. Enough. Yeah,
temporary labour visas. Yeah. But that's right. But the point is we have got to have a specific focus on skills, and you would have noticed in that How to Work working group that's being set up, How to Get Work working group, I should say, they are talking about that one of their responsibilities is looking for the need for skilled workforce. How do we build that capacity? All that will be part of it. But let me come back to this issue about prefabrication. Yes, you're right. Some of the work that's being done is so specialised, particularly in oil and gas, that we actually don't have, in limited areas, and I stress limited areas, we don't have the skills in Australia to do some of it. But we do have the skills to do most of it. So what we have to do is work out what we can do, what our skills are in Australia, build on those skills and keep them. That's why I mentioned before the idea of a Centre of Excellence for Design in Perth, which I think is the logical place for it, Western Australia. That's how you get more and more of this work.
Peter Beattie, thank you.
That's a pleasure. Peter, thank you for having me.
Former Queensland Premier Peter Beattie talking about his part-time role as Resources Sector Supplier Envoy, part of the federal government's Buy Australian at Home and Abroad initiative. You'll find more details on the National Interest website at abc.net.au/rn/national interest. And we'd welcome your comments there, particularly if you're in the steel or engineering business. Do you think the federal government should force big resources projects to use more local products and suppliers? Give us your thoughts online or via the feedback line. Call 1300 936 222 to leave a message.